happy right now.
Jesus will fix it.
I don't care how big You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Happy Monday to all of you. God bless you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Lord God Almighty, we praise you here today on this Monday. Lord, we worship you. We draw close to you. We pray you would draw close to us now. We worship you through the study of your Word. We worship you. As you said, if you love me, keep my commands. Speak to us today so that we can do just that. Lead us and guide us. Open our ears to hear, and we pray that the power to change would be present here today. Help us, because without you, we can do nothing without your Holy Spirit enabling us to keep your word and keep your commands. Help us now. Lord God, bless this program now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of Revelation here on the radio. We've been going through, you heard a sermon from last year, the doctrine of Christ, those last 2 days, Thursday and Friday. Let's get back into the book of Revelation today. Tuesday and Wednesday, you'll hear my sermon from just yesterday, and that's called the Jesus Files. You know, everyone's got a secret list of sinners. Well, the Lord Jesus has his list as well. And the shocking thing is that my name is first on that list. More on that tomorrow. You'll hear that sermon. I mean, that's the bad news. The good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses, present tense, cleanses us from all sin. But the shocking thing is, you know, everyone's got their list, but the Lord Jesus has his. Now, this sermon comes from John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery, and he knelt down to write something in the sand or in the dirt. And I believe, as others, that he was writing down their names. You know, everyone demands to see out here today a secret list of sinners belonging to a particular individual who's dead now. And everyone's demanding their pound of flesh and demanding to see a list of sinners. Well, the Lord Jesus has a list of sinners as well. That's our launching point here for this sermon. That'll play tomorrow and Wednesday. The video you could watch right now by going to the Island Community Church YouTube channel, and you'll see that sermon from yesterday. It's called The Jesus Files. That's uploaded. Also, if you're a Facebook person, that video has been uploaded on the Facebook page as well. So Island Community Church on Facebook, the YouTube video of the sermon alone is up on there. So, okay, so you'll hear that Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the rest of the week you'll hear our ongoing verse-by-verse study here in the book of Revelation. We left off here, again, looking at these last few verses of this lukewarm church of Laodicea. We've gone through the problem. The pastor, remember, he's writing this to the spiritual leader of the church. So that's the problem there is, well, they were deceived. Where the Lord says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know. You see, they're deceived. They thought everything was okay because they had a lot of money perhaps in the bank account or had some great kind of program going on that they thought success came and was dictated by how much money one has or how big one's program is or how many people come to one's church. And that's not the success. That is not the formula. That is not how true success is gauged by the Son of God. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich. Now remember, the three things this church is known for: banking center, a famous eye salve and a medical center, and a clothing manufacturing center. So he's going to flip the script on all three of these things. The things that they thought was their strong point, he's turned into a weakness. And he said, we'll let him go on. I counsel you, this is Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Okay, there's his solution here for this church and for the spiritual leader of this church. Be zealous and repent. That's the first thing he says. Zeleo, just like it sounds. Z-E-L-E-O. Zeleo, where our word, naturally, zeal comes from. Be filled with zeal and repent. So do what you do with a little bit of gusto out there. Stop going through the motions. Don't just dip your toe in the water, but go all in. Be zealous. That's why this Thompson Chain Reference Bible uses the phrase for this spiritual condition, half-heartedness. And the Lord's saying, get into the deep, submerge yourself, just like getting baptized. Don't just sprinkle a little water on you, but go on down completely. Be submerged in this. And the Lord is saying here, be submerged in your ministry and in what you're doing out here today in Jesus' name. So be zealous. Don't go through the motions anymore. And number two, he says, repent. Metanoia is the Greek word. The word noia is the Greek word for your mind. Meta just means a change of condition. You change your mind. To truly repent of something, it means to go in the other direction. We'd say in the Air Force, about face. And you do a 180, you'd pivot on one foot, and you'd start going in the other direction. That's what metanoia means. Repent. Leave it behind. Don't say my bad and keep doing what you're doing. That's not repentance. Repentance is leaving it behind and going in the opposite direction. So what's the deception of the lukewarm church? Well, it's this. The assumption that half-heartedness is okay in God's book, or having a foot in the kingdom and a foot in the world is okay in order to get along with society. Because, according to the Lord, it's not okay. It's not okay to do that in order to get along with society. He says if society loves you, you're doing something wrong. Now, let's close out the Lord's letter to this spiritual leader here, the messenger of the church at Laodicea. Let's close it out with these two great promises starting in verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, behold, then this word edu, behold means check this out. Watch this. Look at this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, unlike the other six churches, the Lord is now on the lukewarm church here, the last church, if our understanding of how number seven works in the book of Revelation, especially with the churches. There certainly has been more than seven churches for 2,000 years. This very well could represent the church age from Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 1, from the day of Pentecost down to perhaps where we are today. The last church that'll be functioning, if you can call it functioning, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So now, you see, the Lord is on the outside of the lukewarm church looking in. Look at his promise. I stand at the door and knock. I love that old picture. It's probably hundreds of years old now, of the Lord Jesus standing at this door and knocking. And if you look at the door, the door has got no door handle on the outside. He wants you to open the door. Now, he's going beyond the pastor here. Now he's talking to the members of the lukewarm church. Maybe he's talking to you today. Maybe he's talking to your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your grandmother or your friend at work. He's not going to open this door. You have to open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And then comes this 2,000-year-old promise still in effect today. If any man, or I'd say any man, woman, or child, hears my voice and opens the door. Remember, he said, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. John chapter 10, verse 9, or John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. With these truths in mind, the Lord Jesus says here today, on this Monday, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. What a great promise. At the end of the church, the glory indeed has left the building. The church's tolerance of sin has caused the Son of God now to leave because he cannot fellowship with sin. And he makes this promise today, not only to the pastor, but to the people as well. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens this door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Even to this last church, he still reaches out to the lukewarm church. Two of the greatest promises are given to this worst church here, meaning it's not too late yet, by golly. It's not too late. Remember, we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's on our worst day, in our worst state. Now, the promise to the worst church, two of the best promises of all are given to this worst church here. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock, I'm knocking. I'm asking you, if you're willing to open this door, if you are willing to call me Lord and receive me today, I am willing to take and obliterate your sins. I'm ready to change your heart of stone that you have and give you a new heart, and you will be born again, where the Bible says God will remember your sins no more. You will have eternal life. You will be reconciled back to God, and all of your sins will be obliterated and remembered no more, all by giving up this life that you have now and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, bowing the knee to him, calling him Lord, and worshiping him as the Son of God. Remember, he said, we read in Mark chapter 10, I think it's verse 32, he says, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Are you willing to do that? He asked the question here today. He says, behold, I stand at the door. That's the door to your heart, friend. And he's knocking. Won't you let him in? The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I just read the verses to you. Won't you do that today? Won't you stop running and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? He's knocking today. This verse is tailor-made. This is written. This verse is written to you, friend, here on this Monday. Whatever day in August this is, I don't care what day it is. All I know is that this is the day the Lord has made for you, and he's speaking to you here today. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. And now right after this, verse 21, I think perhaps is the greatest verse in the entire word of God, and the greatest promise, at least, for us. Isn't it funny? He's given it to the worst church here, this lukewarm church. He considers even worse than the dead church is this lukewarm. He says, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Boy, wrap your mind around that here today. It's a conditional promise to all of the members out here today and who will be members of Overcomers Anonymous, as I like to call it. To all seven of these churches, he's given a conditional promise. Here's another one. To all overcomers out there, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I like to use that verse when I do memorial services here. It's, what a great promise this is. What a great promise for all overcomers today, that the day and the time is coming where the Lord Jesus is going to let you sit on his throne with him. That's a great promise here today, isn't it? For all of us overcomers out there, that the day is coming, that that promise guaranteed will be fulfilled. Now let's move on here to chapter 4 here this morning. Now, welcome to the throne room here finally. So now here in chapter 4, we're going to start to see the third and last division of this book. Now remember in chapter 1, verse 19, the book of Revelation says, as the Lord instructs the Apostle John, he says, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. So starting now is the future. Now is the will. Those chapters 2 and 3 was for them at that time. He dictated a letter to take to the messengers, the spiritual leaders of this church. Now we're going to go into the future here. So the things that will, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Now, after these things, let's say maybe after the church age, let me also say, too, in all fairness, this is why a lot of smart people genuinely believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and that is because from this point on now, there is no longer any references to the church from this point on, at least by name, like we saw in chapters 2 and 3. From this point on, after that promise hangs. Whosoever will, to all of the overcomers out there, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame. Now, the church age is done. You don't find the word church anymore in the book of Revelation. So, verse 1 again, after these things, I'd say after the church age, after these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me saying, come up here and I will show you the things which must take place after this. So come on up, he says. Have a look now, John. Have a look at what's coming up next. Verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, similar in appearance to a jasper and a sardius stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Now, I believe that this description here is talking about the throne, not the one sitting on the throne. That's why my translation reads a little bit different. Let me grab that and read that to you. Revelation chapter 4, it says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And now in parentheses, I have this, and one sitting on the throne. So immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. Now skip through the parentheses. A throne was set in heaven, similar in appearance to a jasper and a sardius stone, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance as an emerald. So that's why I believe this description is talking about the throne, not talking about God sitting on the throne. God has never been compared to jewels before, but certainly the throne, we've seen some awesome descriptions of the throne before. When you read back in Ezekiel chapter 1, there's some awesome descriptions of the throne and this awesome description of God on this with a wheel, inside of a wheel, spinning, turning in different directions. An awesome description of the throne and God on the throne. So again, what a scene. These few chapters in the book of Revelation, especially chapter 4, is what absolutely stunned me with awe and drew me into the kingdom. You know, this place just feels like home to me for some reason, and it's a place that I want to go. What an awesome spectacle. Okay, we're in God's throne room now. Place yourself there today on this Monday. Verse 4, now around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, having been clothed in white robes, and on their heads were crowns of gold. So 24 elders, Greek word presbyteros, where our word Presbyterian comes from, the word means elder, 24 elders. Or as I used to hear J. Vernon McGee say jokingly, this is the only denomination you find in heaven, and that is 24 Presbyterians. Wah! Of course, him being Presbyterian says that. But we cannot say with certainty who these 24 elders are. They are variously understood as, number one, they could be angelic beings. I don't agree with that. We'll disprove that in a minute. Number two, they could be the redeemed people of both the Old Testament and the New. The third alternative, they could be New Testament saints only. The fact that they are crowned and sitting on thrones suggests that these are the saints who have been judged and rewarded already. Number four, this could be the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightning and voices and thunders, and seven torches of fire were burning before his throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So there's the second reference to that, this seven spirits of God. Remember, seven represents perfection or completeness. Verse 6, now, before the throne was something like a sea of glass. Well, let me stop her for a minute. You can see now why I think all of this description here that we looked at was describing the throne and not the one sitting on the throne. Let me go back and read those first verses again.